Once we did it for 5 customers and then 10 customers, it became easier to onboard. So now the type of conversations I have with our buyers, with CHROs, are, you know, completely different, because they already know that, yes, you know, there is a possibility of being better because their peers and other customers of ours have done it in a better way.
Hey everyone, welcome to Brains Behind AI, the show where we meet the innovators, entrepreneurs, and the real brains behind some of the most successful AI startups. We ask them about their journey from coming up with the idea to finding the product market fit, and from their experience, draw a set of principles that we can take away to ours. This is your host, Ari. Thank you for spending time with us. And now, let the show begin. Hello and welcome to Brains Behind AI. I am Ari Jacobi, and I have with me my co-host Natalie Thomas, and we're joined by a very special guest today, Adit Jain. Adit is a co-founder and CEO of Lena AI. Lena is a virtual assistant for enterprise HR departments. Employees ask Lena any HR-related question and Lena answers. They have 50-plus customers, including Coca-Cola, Nestle, Hitachi, and other reputable global brands. And all of that just within last 4 years. So Adit is a person you go to learn about market traction, finding market validation, and getting big-name clients. Adit, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ari.
So before we start here, tell us about yourself. Where does this entrepreneurial bug come from? Because I see you graduated from IIT, you had a few internships, and boom, you jumped into doing your own thing here. So take us back. Tell us about yourself. Where did it all start?
Absolutely. So entrepreneurship for me started way back in my undergrad years itself. So I had these amazing friends while in my undergrad who were like completely crazy about building things. So we used to most of the time not study for exams or our course material, but really focus and build things from our own hands. So we've done a lot of work in face recognition. We've done a lot of work in automatic content summarization. You know, we've done a lot and lot of work across cognition as well. So that kind of gave us the confidence that, hey, we can actually go ahead and build something that can be valuable for someone else, and someone would be ready to pay for it as well. It is typically tough, you know, for anyone to just, you know, not take up any lucrative jobs as an IT or as a tech engineer and just go ahead and start up. But we said that, hey, we mostly enjoyed working with each other, to say the least, right? We loved that the most. So why can't we just start off with that, do what we love to do, experiment here and there, and see if someone really wants to buy it? So it started off more as something that we really, really wanted to do, something that we were really, really excited about. And then it became something bigger than that over a period of time. Obviously, you know, there were like these three friends who started up. Then we started on a journey of building a product named ChatterOn. So ChatterOn is a horizontal platform that enables anyone to create chatbots without writing a single line of code. Now, we started off there, and we, as you mentioned in the introduction that you gave about me, you realize that there's a huge difference, right? So we have had our own share of failures, pivots, understandings, learnings that I'll share more as we continue to discuss today.
That's really interesting, Adit. Thank you for sharing. And before we dive into Lena AI, can you tell us how you came up with the name and what it stands for and initially what it means?
Lena Soderberg is basically the name of a Spanish supermodel, Lena Soderberg. Now, the photo of her face is used by a lot of universities globally as the standard test image for any face recognition algorithm. So as a tech engineer or as a student of technology, the three of us, the founders of Lena AI, we actually sat down together and we've done a lot of open challenges around that. So we were extremely inspired by the technology around facial recognition. So, you know, Lena Soderbergh led to Lena AI at the end. How did that happen is not that interesting a story. It's just, you know, just putting around variables here and there. Yeah.
So as you started experimenting with chatbots, what made you say that there is a viable business here? Let's go try building a company around this.
So when we build Chatteron, the platform where you can come and build any kind of bot, we had a lot of small businesses and you know, a lot of single entrepreneurs who would come on board and start using the product for, let's say, a customer support bot or a marketing bot on their website or a bot for Facebook Messenger, etc., etc. But we had this small portion of people, very, very small, I think 2-2.5% of people who were signing up and using the product, using the platform, who were actually using it for building internal IT and HR chatbots. Now, this was extremely interesting because at the time, you know, none amongst the three of us had any understanding of how an HR or an IT department in a large company functions, right? We had practically zero experience in large corporates. So we kind of understood what they were trying to do. Then we started speaking to them. So we, you know, I personally spent over 6.5 months just shadowing people around, everyone from an intern to a CXO in large organizations, just to understand what is the problem that they are trying to solve. And, you know, with that extensive amount of research and that extensive amount of time that I spent in trying to understand the problem, we were able to be very, very clear on what the product should be. And essentially, the problem we solve is the knowledge gap, right? On an average, a single knowledge worker finds information across 30 plus applications in a week. And that's just in a week, right? So I, as a knowledge worker, access 30 plus different enterprise applications to get my job done. Now, that is honestly stupid. That sounds really, really stupid to us. So we decided to solve it. So essentially, we realized that this is a big problem to solve. What we can do is we can start very small. So we focused only in the HR domain initially and made Lena AI as a personal virtual assistant for employees of large companies that helps them with their HR support, with their HR questions and anything that you need related to HR. But the greater vision is to definitely become like a Jarvis or a personal assistant in the hands of every employee. So we're getting there step by step, and you know, hopefully we'll be there soon.
Very interesting. And I do have a question. How exactly did you select HR, and like, what did you go through to narrow down that is the industry you really wanted to focus on?
Right. So the customers on the Chatteron platform were essentially using it to build for HR and IT. The 2% of the people who were signing up were using it for building HR and IT bots. So there were pretty much these two options that we were considering at that time. Now, the HR fraternity showed a bigger need of the product than the IT fraternity at that time. And I've spoken to, you know, more than 100 and 150 odd, you know, CHROs before we decided to go that way. You know, most of them were extremely excited by what we were going to build. And that's why we decided to go with IT, with HR first. And now we are launching in IT as well.
That's great. And one of the things I evangelize is the customer before product. And tell people they need to spend time with the customer and really understand the problem and implications before they build something out, especially in AI. Because a lot of entrepreneurs get excited about the technology and say, let's apply it somewhere, right? So I like that approach that you're talking about here. So you started talking to a few customers, you started talking to people, and you realized there is potential. Where did you go from there?
We started, once we saw that, you know, people were ready to pay for something like this, if something like this was built, they would be ready to pay for it. The SCHROs would be able to pay for it. We decided to start some cheap pilots, right? So what we did is to go choose like 3 out of the 100-150 CHROs I spoke to and say, hey, you know, we're going to make this really cheap for you. You just need to let us experiment and probably fail as well. But we'll make sure that we'll solve this problem one way or the other for you, right? And that's essentially the birth of Lena AI. Again, we could have chosen to be on a path where we created the entire product and then did the pilot, but we did it like completely the other way around. we said that, hey, we'll just partner with three of you guys. We'll obviously charge extremely less, so we incentivize you to, allow us to experiment. And that way we got a really, really smart and, good product from the beginning itself.
Got it. And how were you funding all of the work? Were you guys rolling up the sleeves and developing and also selling at the same time? Did you go out, seek any outside funding? How did you manage during the initial stage?
No, so most of the, funds that were required for the initial 6 to 9 months of the product, of the Chatron platform, was like just us. We were doing everything ourselves, coding and selling. I used to do sales myself. After that, once we got some traction, we got some investors from the US who were able to, who saw value in what we were doing and decided to do a small, seed round on us. Post that, we did a larger seed as well, and we were selected in Y Combinator as well. But yes, that small amount of cash did help us, scale faster. Probably we would have been like 9 months behind if we hadn't raised that cash. But it was extremely important to have understood the problem we were trying to solve. Else, that would have been a waste.
Makes sense. What was your experience like, one, getting selected by Y Combinator, and two, the mentorship and the guidance they provided going up to the demo day?
Oh, it was an amazing experience. So I would recommend it to all entrepreneurs without blinking an eye. I think what YC provides is a platform of learnings, or basically telling you what you should not be doing, right? So with over 3,000 plus entrepreneurs who have been funded by YC before, there's going to be someone who would have been looking at taking a decision that you are looking to take right now, and who would have made a mistake at that time, right? So YC and their partners can definitely tell you what not to do so that you can go ahead and choose the best for yourself. So, I think it's definitely a go. Any entrepreneur who's starting up should definitely try getting into YC and apply for that for sure.
That's great. And it's always helpful to get feedback from other entrepreneurs who have already been through that journey. What are one or two things that really stand out for you that you think you picked up at Y Combinator that you wouldn't have otherwise?
The focus on growth. So I'm going to be very, very, macro and then go micro when it comes to, what YC helped us with. So in terms of macro, the thought process as a founder that you need to have of growing every day, right? Can we just, improve ourselves, our companies by 1% every day, which can then compound to something big at the end of the year and then something really, really huge by the end of the next 5 years, right? So that understanding as a founder and that acceptance that, hey, that's exactly what we want to be and what we want to build towards is something that gets mixed into our DNA once we go into YC. Now, in terms of micro examples, let me talk about growth. So I, at Lean AI, lead a lot of the non-tech stuff. So I lead business development, I lead sales, customer success, etc. So that hunger on, we did 100 demos last month. Can we do 120? Can we do 140, right? And asking this to yourself and challenging yourself every month, every week, every day is something that they taught as well. And in terms of direct value, direct growth in terms of our numbers, sales, business development, etc., that has been off the roof thanks to YC.
Great. You did 100 demos last month?
In actuals, we did around 75 demos last month. Yeah, we scheduled 100 demos, 25 were no-shows. So we did 75 demos last month.
That's amazing. Now, shifting gears a bit, let's talk about the product market validation. So you came up with this idea, you found a few customers to pilot it with. What are some of the things you did to make sure that there is a real market for your product beyond those initial customers you had?
So in terms of total customers, right now we are 50 plus. Let me give you two parts to the answer. Let me talk a bit about what we did in the early days, because I think that'll be more useful. And what are we doing now to continue that kind of growth, right? So in the early days, I think it was more about just getting to the product market fit, to just get to a point where we know that, hey, this is the problem and this is how we solve it and this is the value that it creates, right? Now, I'd spend that amount of time in just understanding the problem. So I was sure that the problem exists. There's no questions on that. I had to make sure that the person I'm going to sell to understands the problem and values the problem equally, right? So let's say, you just bought new shoes, right? So buying another new shoe probably is a lesser value proposition for you if right now as compared to, let's say, a year later when your shoes are old and you probably need new ones, right? So it's not about just, you know, you identifying as an entrepreneur the problem, but the market and the person you are selling to should also understand the value of the problem that you're going to solve for them. So a lot of AI solutions I see are not able to show that value, you know, upfront, because as you mentioned, Ari, they're basically trying to take a technology and, you know, apply it to and create a solution instead of finding the problem. So we have to make sure that, hey, the problem I understood is actually also resonated by all the CHROs that we were speaking to, and they value it equally as well. And that's essentially coming from, you know, we started discussions around cost. So we would just go ahead and ask that, hey, if we solve this problem, will you pay us this much? And you have to be extremely, extremely blunt and extremely open to talk about these, else you'll never get to know if it is valuable enough or not. So that's something we did at number one. Number two, once those pilots that I were talking about were over, we were able to calculate the ROI, the return on investment for our customers, for our three pilot customers. We decided to take those findings and publish them and to make it available for all, anyone who would want to look at a solution like this. So, you know, that was the second part. And, you know, the focus essentially was on asking for money from day one after the pilots closed. We kept doing that with 100 people. We got 5 customers, and I think that's where all of that started falling in place.
So with what you just told us too, are there any examples of some of the challenges you experience going to the market with a product that's really the first of its kind?
Absolutely. So with a product like ours, like Lena AI solves a hidden problem, right? A lot of HR departments today, a lot of HR professionals spend 50% of their time just answering questions and doing menial, question answering, which can be easily done by technology. And their time should be spent in more strategic work, right? But they don't realize this. And that's true for everyone, I suppose. That's true for us humans, I suppose. If we're being told to do something from our childhood or from a long time ago, we will just continue to do it without questioning it. So the technology today allows you to do it in a different way, but you are not questioning it enough to know that there is a better way possible, right? And I think that was just showing that to our customers was one of our initial challenges, because, you know, they said that, hey, this has been the case. People come to us, people call us for questions, for issues, and we solve them. That's why we are the human resource department, right? That's the human in the human resource. And we were like, no. That's not the human. That's just like an old way of doing something that can be done in a much better way using AI, using technology, using NLP. And, once we did it for 5 customers and then 10 customers, it then became easier and easier to onboard. So now the type of conversations I have with our buyers, with CHROs are, you know, completely different, because they already know that, yes, there's a possibility of being better because their peers and other customers of ours have done it in a better way.
One thing I'm curious about is you have some major brands as your customers. How did a small startup out of New York can get these major brands? How did you get meetings with them, and what did it take to put you in front of them?
You know, we did a lot of manual work, honestly, ourselves. So I was the only salesperson out of a 3 people team, of course, because all of us were just founders and no one else. So I was looking after sales myself. I used to send, I think around 300 plus messages on LinkedIn every day, coupled with another 500 emails every day. And, you know, it was just brute force and brute will that got us through to these people. So it's just about knowing the right person. Once you know the right person that's going to be interested in listening you out, you know, you just need to make sure that you reach out to enough number of people via whatever medium possible.
That's great. And it's a testimony to your entrepreneurial skills and to your drive. And I think it also serves as an excellent example of what it takes for all the aspiring entrepreneurs listening right now. So now that you've started getting some traction, how are you scaling up moving forward?
Right. So our focus definitely is to make sure that we are in 200 plus customers just for the HR product in the next 1 year. But we've realized that a lot of our end users, not just the buyer or not just the person who takes the buying decision, the end users actually ask Lena a lot of questions around IT, admin, finance, and other functions in an organization, right? It makes sense because they have an interface and they want to ask more questions. Now, we realized that a good way for us to expand, and this is in line with our vision as well, right? It's the vision is to be the Jarvis or be the personal assistant for every employee. We'll eventually have to move into other verticals as well. So what we do right now is we try and we focus on selling the HR product into companies, but we're also experimenting with the other verticals for existing customers because we want to help out more. We want more, we want to free up employees' time to do better with their, with their available time instead of just, looking for information. So the focus, I think the go-to-market is via HR, but for existing customers, they get to upgrade Lena to add more skills, if you may.
Got it. And that makes total sense. So in terms of your own HR, how many employees do you have? And how are you thinking about growing and scaling your talent pool?
Right now, we have 60 employees based across California, New York, India, and Singapore. So in terms of growing, I think we will be at least 200 in the next 12 months. We are experiencing some huge demand, especially after the work from home has started. A lot of these organizations who were earlier not, realizing the problem, as I mentioned, about time being sucked up in just answering simple questions again and again, they are now facing it because, employees just keep calling or keep emailing and they can't keep up. So, we have a huge line of customers waiting to get onboarded and we're just hiring and growing to make sure we are able to onboard them on time.
Yeah, you're touching on a very interesting point here. And one thing I'm also curious about is how are startups responding and reacting to this reset we have from COVID-19 crisis? What has your experience been like as remote and virtual workplace becomes the new normal?
Right. So let me tell you about what happened when, what happened in February, March, like when the early days of COVID-19. So first, there was extreme panic. Nobody knew what was going to hit them, right? Everyone was like just panicking. Nobody knew, how to react, what's going to happen? Are we going to get our salaries on time? So everyone was like completely panicking. So at that time, a lot of companies reached out and their requirements would change every day. Us as an organization, we tried to help all our customers in every way possible. And, that even actually included making sure that sometimes the customer can pay later, can do an agreement later, because we just want to help them out in this time of crisis. Now, as an organization, we were hit, but we were not that badly hit because as people worked from home, they just needed our product more and more, right? They just needed, a Lena AI to help answer simple HR IT questions because, you can't just keep calling the HR department or the IT department for every small thing, which was earlier possible because you had them like right there. You could just go and speak to them. And it's not possible now. So the overall impact of COVID-19 or of, working from home has been positive on our business. And, we as an organization initially, we also reacted in a way to make sure that, hey, we have enough runway for the next 3 years. We are not going to die anytime soon. But as it turned out, it was positive and we are actually growing.
That's great and good to hear that you are growing. So while we're talking about sales, I noticed that your client base is very global. So I'm wondering, how's your sales team structured to allow you to sell all around the world? What is your strategy there?
So our sales team is a pretty standard sales team. It's a SDR plus AE combination. The SDRs, and obviously the SDRs are aided and kind of complemented by the marketing and the growth department. So you have marketing, which is trying to do a lot of lead gen, basically doing a lot of marketing, which helps with lead gen. So that feeds into the SDRs. SDRs do a lot of work on accounts, do a lot of account mapping. And once they think that someone is mature enough to take a demo or has shown interest, they'll pass it down to AEs who will then do the entire sales cycle with these large organizations, which can take up to, like, let's say 3 months, right? So that's how we are currently built. The team size overall is around 15 people. And we're expecting to grow that extremely fast in the next 6 months or so.
And I have a question for you, Ayat. How do you make sure that Lena AI is providing the correct information to the employees, knowing that HR is a sensitive area to make a mistake in?
Amazing question, Natalie. So while we were starting off in the early days, we had a couple of options, right? Number one was to provide an answer more number of times with a higher probability of being wrong. That was the first option. And the second option was to provide an answer less number of times and make sure that you're never wrong, right? It's basically saying that how confident the algorithm is while giving the answer. So after doing our initial experiments, we decided to go the latter way, wherein Lena AI answers a question only when it's extremely sure that it is correct. This way, we are never wrong. We are never, ever wrong in giving an answer. And also, so this also just does mean, though, that out of 100 questions, Lena only answers 80 at this point. And by the way, when we started, Lena was only answering 40 questions, right, on an average. So initially, it was a tough decision to take because it was basically, saying that, hey, we could answer, let's say, 65 questions, but we're choosing to answer 40. Because we care about being right and not being wrong ever. But yes, now we've been able to scale the learnings, the knowledge base, and the technology itself to answer 80. So I think that was a good call we took. We would have taken it again if we have to.
No, that's amazing. And based off of that, are there any specific industries that are more efficient with using the Lena AI product?
So we are an industry agnostic product, but we've seen that a lot of companies in manufacturing, FMCG, finance, NBFCs, etc. are actually interested in using Lena AI more than others. And I think that makes sense. Anywhere where you have a distributed team, a distributed setup, where you have people across multiple facilities, multiple offices, people who are probably doing sales on the ground, etc., you'll probably need Lena to help them connect with the HR team. And Lena can act as a single point for everything HR for those employees, right? So these are some of the industries where we see higher take up. But yes, it's an industry agnostic product. At this point, we probably have customers across all industries.
Great. Thank you. That makes complete sense.
That's great. Right now, looking at the future, so where do you see Lena, say, 3 years from now or 5 years from now? One, as AI technology evolves, and two, as your company evolves?
As I mentioned, our end vision is to put a personal assistant in the hands of every employee, right? So it's like everyone has seen Jarvis. So I think that's the end goal of what Lena AI will be. It's going to be a absolutely personalized assistant that is doing different things and doing different actions, providing different inputs. Whenever it comes to departments, when it comes to roles, Lena has a different skill set for you, right? So a marketing person versus a salesperson versus an HR person, Lena has different skill sets for you, for specifically you, right? So that's, I think, where we will end up at the end of the next 2 years. We've already, as I mentioned, started a lot of work, in other departments and saying that, okay, can Lena help people with IT? Can Lena specifically help procurement people do their job better? Can Lena specifically help sourcing professionals in manufacturing companies do their job better? So we started doing a lot of work across all of these different skills, as we call it. I think we're going to keep investing there, and we'll be there in the next 2.5 years or so.
A lot of our listeners are enterprise managers and leaders in companies that can be your client base potentially. So what message do you have for them? How can they help you accelerate as you grow and work on your vision here?
That's a great question. So I believe that for any new AI technology to grow faster, decision makers or, you know, key industry people can help us by being open in terms of sharing their problems. I see that a lot of time, a lot of AI startups or AI companies typically struggle when it comes to understanding the problem. And it is just that, you know, if I am an entrepreneur, I go to someone who's a decision maker or who's even a manager in an organization, and, you know, they tell me, hey, this is not going to work for us. That's great. But can you at least give me five problems that you're facing today that I can probably help you solve? So, you know, I'm giving an answer from a starting perspective itself, that while we were smaller, we would have been really, really felt great if someone would come in and say that, okay, these are the five problems we are trying to solve. You know, I don't know if you can solve them for us, but yeah, if you can, then that's going to be great, right? You know, I really, really wish, and I really encourage all managers, all enterprise, you know, organization and people who are there, who are listening to this, that please, if you have entrepreneurs coming to you, if you're not going to use them, their product, that's great. But please do give them feedback about your problems and what problems would you want them to solve for you.
That is an excellent ask. Now, turning around to the aspiring entrepreneurs, the future entrepreneurs that want to build AI products, what advice do you have for them if they come to you and say, what is one thing we should do? What is one thing we can learn from your experience? What would you tell them?
This is a question a lot of people ask me, and my answer to this is always sell first, build later, right? So it goes that, hey, can you sell the problem and the solution that you're thinking of initially? Probably have a dollar tag to it if you can, and then go ahead and build it. I made the mistake, I think you have mentioned it earlier in this podcast itself, how us engineers or us, you know, techies, we kind of take a technology, think of a solution and say that, okay, let's put it to a problem, right? So instead of doing that, if you can sell something first, if you can go to someone who's going to be a customer of a solution that you're thinking to build, and you can say that, hey, will you pay me for this? And they actually say yes. And then you have 5 or 10 people who say yes to that. Then I think then that's exactly what you need to build. And, you know, once I made that mistake with Chatteron, where we just, you know, learned the new natural language processing, we thought, hey, let's go automate customer support, marketing, everything via a platform, right? And we ended up being nothing for no one while we were trying to be everything for everyone, right? So I think the idea and the focus should be just to get the first 10 people to say, yes, we pay for something like this, and then go ahead and build. Sell first, build later.
Great advice, and I second that. So Adit, before we let you go, can you share your details with our listeners if they want to learn more about Lena? Where should they go? Or if they want to follow you, or if they want to get in touch with you, where should they go?
Absolutely. So you can write to me on adit@lena.ai. That is adit@lena, LENA.ai. Or you can follow me on Twitter or just tweet at me on Twitter at adit93.
Great. Thank you, Adit. Thank you for taking the time. It was very educational to learn about your experience. It was very valuable for me, and hopefully it's valuable for our listeners. So thank you for taking the time. Much appreciated.
Yes, thank you so much. It was a really fascinating conversation. I greatly enjoyed it.
Thank you so much, Ari. Thank you so much, Natalie. Just one thing, I think I misspelled my Twitter account. It is AditJain93. Thank you so much, Ari, for your time. And Natalie, have a great day ahead, guys. Stay safe.
Thank you very much. You have a good day and stay safe.
Thank you, Adit. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you so much for being here today. If you like what you heard and are interested in more, visit us online at brainsbehind.ai and sign up for my monthly AI startup tracker. That's where I cut through the noise and bring you AI startups that are making tangible progress. Till next time, go out, be the brains behind AI.